Okay, and welcome to the Expansion Podcast, or hashtag VXPod, the podcasters podcast and lovers of the audio space. And I'm your host, Mo, joined by my co-host,
Stavros. Hello, everyone.
I can say your socials.
I am at Stavros Bus.
And I am at Mo, actually, on Twitter. So me and Stav have come together as what we think we are, two experienced podcasters, to talk things all audio, money, content, whatever you want to talk about concerning podcasts, to give our personal, sometimes conflicting views. We don't always agree, but we always try to give out some like useful information. We are also joined by some familiar podcast voices to help us along our journey. So please do listen to the end of the pod, where we always give our recommendations of what to listen to and also some good podcasting tips. So, Stav, this week we actually have guests. Yeah. Not like last week. Yeah. Last week was a little bit of a, I don't know what to even call it, but it was actually a good episode. I liked it.
Yeah, it was because we are professionals, it came out wonderful.
Of course. So I'm going to throw over to our guests. I'm going to go in alphabetical order. There you go.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Would that be me?
That would be you.
Okay, well, hi, I'm Rochelle. I used to have a podcast called Where to Your Mother Pod. I don't know what else you want me to say.
That's fine. We'll start there. And our second guest?
My name is Wavy. I used to be the host of the Not Everyday podcast. We ran for three seasons? Something like that. Two or three seasons. But yeah, okay. we've stopped.
And I like the way you both used the word used to, because that kind of introduced the topic for this week's episode. And it's about defunct or podcasts of the past, and an honest conversation as to like why that would happen. Yeah.
Yes.
You're both like nodding. It's an audio pod. I like it.
Don't let her bully you. So
never a bully.
Guys, thank you for coming on.
Yes,
it's good to see and hear from you both. I guess let's get right stuck in. Mo, yeah. All right,
yeah,
so
let's go for it.
I think ladies first. Let's start on. Tell us about your podcast, why you started it, and then how you why it came to an end.
So I had a podcast called Where to Your Mother podcast, who I co-hosted with my friend Benita. It was about basically parenting, the topics and issues that parents go through. We did used to talk a little bit about, you know, like celebrities and like current issues, but current issues that concern things to do with children and parents and stuff like that. We only went for about 6 months. So we've been off the air for like over a year now. To be honest, I do not know why it wasn't a conscious decision to end the podcast. Because I think if it was, we would have had like a, I don't know, like an ending episode, like a goodbye everyone.
Yeah.
Type thing. Whereas that wasn't the case. It was just like one day it was there and one day it wasn't there.
Because I listened to your last episode and there was no like goodbye. So I was just like, oh, okay, so maybe they are coming back. And then I looked at the date and I was like, maybe not, I'm not sure. But I still,
well, exactly.
I would still be in hope if I was like a regular listener. I'd be like, maybe it might come back.
I think part of it, I think we felt, well, we didn't really discuss it, to be honest, but I think it got to a point where obviously we were only doing it for 6 months. We didn't really have a huge listenership anyway. And I think once, like, part of that's a motivation to keep going in some ways. Do you know what I mean? If people are actually engaging with you and like you can see that people are listening, if there are not that many people listening and you can't be bothered to do it, or one day you miss it, it doesn't really give you that much motivation to go back to it. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like, nobody actually, does anyone notice? Does anybody care? Probably not. So we could just stop, you know.
I hear you. That makes sense. Alex, then, so the same questions to you, Mr. Wavy. Like, tell us about your podcast, how it started, and how and why it came to an end.
So one of my co-hosts on the podcast was a member called Silent George, and he put me onto podcasts when we first met, and I really got into the podcast of the late. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Sorry. It's because Stan's face was like just stagnant. I got into.
That's how it always is. Don't worry about it.
I really got into listening to just like a number of podcasts, and I thought to myself, "Right, I can do this myself. I've got a voice. I think my opinion is fairly, you know, decent." And I just had this idea of different personalities all being heard together. So I was very specific with the type of people that I wanted to get on the pod. So it was myself, who I'm naturally a creative, but I can be quite diplomatic in my approach. So I figured I'd make a good host. So I made sure I got quite carefree characters, a few vulgar characters, but I wanted the vulgar ones to be female voices, because I feel that feminine voices tend to be, there's a narrative like, you know, I'm a nice girl, da, 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 da. But I wanted the girls on my pod to be loud, obnoxious, and just carefree, which they pretty much were. And yeah, we started it. We didn't know what we were doing, and we just tried. Because I have a music background, I'm used to being in the studio. So I just called my friend, booked a studio session. I said, we're going to need a few mics. The first few episodes were terrible. And yeah. We made it work, but we learned along the way.
Yeah.
And we got better and better. Stav helped me a lot in regards like audio and ideas and concepts and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah. That's fine.
How long did your podcast run for?
A good 2 years.
Okay, you had a good run.
Yeah.
So then the last question then, why did it come to an end? If it's come to an end?
We all had a lot of responsibilities at the time. My wife was pregnant. Sorry if you see her just walking in the background. she was pregnant with our third child. Time was just not there. And a lot of the load in regards sharing, like distributing the podcast, uploading, editing, it was very much on me.
Right.
So yeah, I couldn't do it anymore. But there was a collective feeling of we're not progressing enough.
Okay, so I've noticed the theme here. Oh, let me give you my story as well. Actually, I started in a couple of months. It will be 10 years ago, but there was a massive gap in between my first episode, and now we recorded for about a year and a half, 2 years. And then we stopped for, it seems, the similar reasons that you guys are talking about. We stopped because we didn't have a massive listenership. There wasn't much interaction with the people that we were putting it out to. And then with all the drama and the work that comes with editing and working around the podcast and scheduling and whatnot, you figure, if nobody's listening, is it worth me doing all this work?
Yeah.
And then it fades off, and I think it was me more than the rest of the people I work with. And I said, I don't want to do this anymore because there's no end product. So we stopped. But then one of the other members, after 4 years away, said, look, we don't see each other enough anymore, you know, and I enjoy doing the podcast. Let's just start it up. And at the time, podcasts were blowing up. Whereas when we first started, podcasts weren't a big thing. So they said, you know, let's come back into the game. You know, and so we started again. So, and then since then, that would be 3.5 years now. We haven't missed a week since we restarted. So there's my story as well. So it seemed like we all stopped for the similar reasons. We weren't getting that interaction from other people, and it didn't seem like the work was worth the end result. Would I be right in saying that?
Mm-hmm. You would.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, one word answers are great.
I was going to say, can I say about my story?
Go ahead.
And I think, well, I haven't, like, I've taken breaks, but my one has been, two big breaks that I took. One when my co-host decided that she didn't want to do it going forward. So I kind of struggled a little bit, like, by myself. And then I had to take a break to work out what I was going to do going forward. And then the second time I just took a break, it's just because I was just tired, you know, doing it like week in, week out. And on my third break that I'm on now, I've just decided to move to seasons rather than doing it every 2 weeks, just continuously, because I just was really just like running out of ideas and content. So I thought, you know what, rather than stress to put out an episode every 2 weeks, why don't I move to a season and then be really concise about the content that I'm putting out. But I agree with everybody in terms of like, when you look at the numbers, sometimes you're just like, oh, is it even, who cares? Does anyone care? But then I remember one time I took a break and then just someone randomly like messaged me on Twitter and just was like, oh, you know, are you going to put out another episode? I was so happy. I was just like, someone cares. So that gave me the motivation to definitely make sure I came back.
I think that's a good note for listeners. If you are listening to this podcast and you're more of a consumer than an actual producer, because I guess we are geared towards producers, but if you're a listener, that is a bit of advice for you or something for you to take away, that the people that are making these podcasts, just one solitary person saying, where are you? You know, we missed you. We want to hear your voice. It makes a difference. So I think if these guys got more of the feedback from listeners that I'm sure they had, just having that silent listener thing with people listening and not paying any mind to it, like, oh, I don't need to do anything on social media, or I don't need to send an email or whatever, which is fine, don't get me wrong, it's not that just because you're a listener you have to interact, it's not that you have to, but if you ever do feel to say something, if something does cross your mind, it's like, oh, that was a really good episode, or somebody said something that was really heartfelt that I can identify with, or whatever it is, it would be nice to reach out to the people that do the podcast. It makes a difference, I would say.
Definitely.
So let's see. So both of you worked in teams. So we haven't really had podcasters that have worked in teams before. Did it make a difference? Do you feel that, not to put anybody in anything, I'm not trying to drag anything or anything like that. But do you feel that maybe if you worked by yourself or a different kind of team, maybe things would have been different? Because I've noticed myself, so this is not to drag my team, but I'm working in the team now and I'm still working in another team, so I'm running two podcasts concurrently, and there's a big difference. Yes, we are team. There's a big difference between working with Mo and working with the other guys I work with other podcasts. So I know that there's two different dynamics that I work with. It makes a big difference. Like I'm working much harder on this one than I am on the other one, even though I'm doing less actual collective work. If I'm doing 50% of the work on this podcast, I'm doing more than 50% of the work on other podcasts, yet I'm still working harder on this podcast. It doesn't make any sense. But just those different dynamics make a difference. Do you think it would have made a difference with you guys if you had, if there was another kind of way of doing it?
For me, the power dynamic was from the start, they were like, you're the captain. That's what they called me. You're the captain. You're in charge. So I didn't really have that. There was no power struggle in a sense where we're doing this. It was like, if Alex said, or Wavy said, we're doing this, then we're going to do that. Unless it was like extreme. But then after a while, I felt like I needed extra help. So I was like, all right, Kim, you're vice captain. Do you know what I mean? So if I'm not able to be there or anything like that, you're in charge. But I feel like if there were less people, it's a double-edged sword, because I feel like if we had less people on that pod, it wouldn't have been as good as it was. But the workload possibly would have felt more evenly distributed.
Okay.
But I wouldn't have changed it. Even though it didn't work out in the end, I wouldn't have changed it, because I think the content is the most important thing, and the different, you know, variety of voices we had was great.
Okay. That's interesting.
So you are happy with your content as well?
Oh yeah, that's the one thing of my podcast that I can never like feel any way ill towards. That our content was great.
All right, I'll get back to that hopefully if I remember. So Rochelle, then, do you think the dynamics would have made a difference if you had like maybe a man on the team, a father, or more mothers, or less, or it's just you? What
In terms of the conversations, I enjoyed the dynamic between the two of us. I think we're very different people, and we were at different stages in our like parenting, you know, lives and stories and stuff. So I think we had different perspectives. But I mean, with it just being two of us, it is difficult in terms of the workload. I mean, not to say, you know, my co-host didn't put in any like work, but I was the one that did all the editing and like was the person that pretty much like that would put it out and do posts and try and, you know, have social media engagement and stuff. And that all pretty much came from me, which I mean, I don't know. I think at the time I probably felt like, oh, I wish you could do like maybe a little bit more. But sometimes it's hard as well, because sometimes you want to be the person that does things because you've got the, you know, you're like, I know how I want it to be done or whatever. But then it does become a lot when you've got to do everything yourself. And I think it did get hard in terms of kind of trying to come up with content every week and us having to, you know, make the time to do research and to, you know, discuss with each other what do we want to talk about and stuff, because it wasn't the kind of thing where we would just come into it and be like, all right, we're going to, like, we haven't planned it and we're just going to talk. Because we did plan, like, okay, we're going to have this subject, like, each had a topic. It wasn't just like, oh, this is what happened this week, let's talk about it. It was like, no, this, we pick topics and research them. So there's, like, a lot more that you need to do when you're going to do something like that.
It's interesting. I think it seems that we all, four of us, have this thing on our individual podcasts. I think just to make sure, Rochelle, it was your idea to start the podcast, yeah? Just to make sure I'm right with this.
I was the podcast listener. My co-host doesn't really listen to podcasts, to be fair. Right. I was the very avid podcast listener, and you know, she was definitely interested and wanted to do it, but it probably wasn't as much her avenue.
But it was your idea in the first place, as in you took that idea to her.
Yeah
I think the four of us had that thing where each of us were the one that actually had the idea to start the podcast, which then by default kind of makes you the
leader.
Yeah, kind of, if for lack of a better word, the leader or the let's say the spearhead. So you're the spearhead, so people are following your movement because you are the one that actually started the movement.
Are you saying spearhead or sparehead?
I will just continue. I hate when people interrupt me because I'm so easily flung off course.
Sorry, you were saying you're the spear or sparehead.
Yeah, so the difference between like working with Mo now is that because we are both spearhead or whatever it was now. I don't know, you've got me freaking like...
Sorry.
Because we were both came from a similar place from our last podcast and we come to this one together, and because we spoke about how we are, because we are both, and it seems like with you two guys as well, both kind of like, not control freaks, but we know what we want. And if the other people are not doing it the way we want, then it might even be an issue. So we had that discussion before we started the expansion. And I think it's led to quite a natural thing where it's like, you do this, I do that, this is what you're good at. And week by week, we're learning what each other is good at and what we can take in on the role. And I think it's led to like a different kind of podcast partnership or dynamic. Yeah. With this one, then I have it with my others. Hence what I'm talking about with the working more, but doing less and, you know, yada, yada, yada. So it's interesting that we all seem to have that similar thing where podcasts. So this is, again, for the listeners, if you are the person that starts a podcast, it's your idea, it's your baby, it's your, you know, especially if you're passionate about podcasts, it's a good idea to really bring in people that are passionate as well, because you can bring people that are good at talking. You can bring people that are good at, you know, a multitude of different things. But if they're not passionate about podcasting, if they're not passionate about promoting it once you've actually done the episode, because what you'll find is people are happy to go to a studio, record, and then leave. And that's it. It's like, I've done my job. I've spoken on the mic. I was funny. I was charismatic. I researched. I did. I was intelligent. I did all that. I don't need to do anything else now. What do you mean promoting? What do you mean... You know, what, like, why? Sorry, go on.
Well, I was going to say, Staff, because we talked about playing your podcast position. I do think sometimes, or even from my own experience, getting into podcasting, you don't realise all the other work that's going to be involved. So when it is your idea and you've kind of brought it, you kind of do, I think, naturally take on more of the workload. So, you know, when I spoke to my friend about let's do a podcast together, I didn't realize that we're going to have to maybe spend hours editing. We're going to have to work out how to get it onto the platforms. We're going to have to promote it so people even know that it's even there. All of this takes time that even I didn't know about. And because it was my idea, I brought it to her. I naturally felt a responsibility. Whereas doing this podcast with you, we know what goes into it, so we can easily allocate the work to each other. I don't know. I feel in hindsight, definitely starting my podcast, I would have done a lot of things differently.
Yeah, well, okay, Rochelle and Wavy, would you do things differently again? I know Wavy, you said you don't regret doing it. Rochelle, do you regret doing it? If you could go back and start again, would you say, nah, these are new ground rules, or this is how I'm going to come at it in a different way, or what?
No, I definitely don't regret doing it. I don't really regret the way that we did it. I mean, I think we learned a lot, and every episode is different, like in terms of we started off in a studio. We started off the first couple of episodes in a studio. I still did the editing though. And then it was like we moved on to, I think, like Anchor and stuff. And we recorded in my house with mics. And we tried to do things like, you know, when we weren't together, and there was a lot of learning that happened, and we did different things every time. I think obviously if you know all of that stuff from the start, you would just go with one way. You wouldn't need to change every single thing. And I had never edited anything before in my life. I'm not a very technical person, I'm not going to lie. Okay, I don't really know things about any of those things. And so each time I edited the podcast, that was again a learning thing. I would have to go on YouTube, and I would be looking at, you know, how do you do like transitions, or how do you fade in or fade out, or whatever it is, all these things. So each time I am learning new editing techniques and things. And I think, I mean, I don't know, I like to hope that it got better. I don't know if it did, but I hope it did. So I think from that avenue, yes, you know, if you knew all of those things, you would just start out and it would be good to start with, or what you would think would be good to start with. But I don't regret any of it. I actually enjoyed it. It was a good time, and I like what we put out, to be honest. I think there wasn't anything, and I don't even really know if there is anything now that addresses the things that we were addressing, or talks about the things that we were talking about, or is geared to the same audience, you know, like the whole Black British pop, like, you know, young Black parents and stuff. I don't hear that. I don't know that that's there. And that's kind of the reason we started it. So I definitely think it's like a good conversation.
Well, I think, I don't know if it's this episode or another episode, we're going to talk about filling in niches or finding empty spaces in the podcast world, because obviously there are so many different avenues to come at when you're podcasting. And like you said, I think you found a niche, Rochelle.
Definitely.
So for like me, as a father, I listened, and it was interesting to hear, because although I'm not a mother, I'm still a parent. So I listened every week, and it was, let me listen to what other parents are talking about. And like, so there's this anecdote from your podcast, maybe I'm going off a bit, where your co-host, because
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Yeah, because for me, it's the funniest thing in the world. Like you said, you were at different places in your parenthood. So your child was about 7 years older than Benita's?
Yeah.
See, I'm good at this stuff. Yeah, so and so obviously you've been through things that she hasn't been through, and her child was quite young at the time. I don't think the child was even one yet.
Less than one, because she's like two now.
Yeah, so there was one episode you were talking about something to do with the child coming into the toilet with you whilst you were in the toilet, and your co-host was like, I would never allow that. And you were like, what do you mean? And she's like, oh, I would never, if I'm in the toilet, my child couldn't come in. And you were like, well, what are you going to do if you're in the toilet? Like, are you going to tell her to stay outside? Are you going to lock the door? Like, if it's just you and a child in the house, what are you going to do? And she's like, well, I don't know, but that just can't happen. And I remember listening to that, and I think I must have spat out my drink in laughter. I thought that was hilarious. And it's one of those things where I know people hate it when they either don't have children, or they have children that are a lot younger than you, where it's like, oh, you'll find out. Oh, wait till it's your turn, you'll find. And I did message her this week, and I asked her, you know, has it happened yet? And she's like, oh yeah. We have big conversations in the toilet now. So it's that kind of thing where it's like, I resonated with that. It made it, just for me, it's like, I thought it was good. It's a shame that you're not there anymore. So I guess this is my my little way of saying come back, Rochelle. We miss you. We miss you. You had a voice.
And I was going to say, actually, Staff, to ask both Rochelle and Wavy, in terms of like the numbers, you both mentioned that the listener numbers was sort of a factor. You know, what was it that you had an expectation of like where you wanted to be or where you wanted to get to and you wasn't getting there quick enough? Or what was it that was making you think like, okay, it's not enough?
I definitely looked at other podcasts, particularly other podcasts who were doing similar things to us. Mm. And I'm like, our content is better than theirs. We definitely have a better intro than theirs.
I hear it.
Why are we not getting the views? Why are we not getting the listens? And like, the thing is, our listens, it was weird because we'd have like a really good week. And then the next week we'd only have like 100 plays. And it's like, oh, what's different between this and this?
Spot.
And spot. Yeah, I never managed to figure out how to keep those high plays consistent, which is quite disheartening after a while, particularly when, you know, like you guys, I'm sure you're avid podcast listeners and you're listening to these other podcasts and you're thinking, this hasn't got anything on mine. Why?
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Michelle, what was you saying?
It's
a competition. It is a competition.
Just in terms of the up and down numbers, I learned that that's a lot of that is bots. Like when you get a week and it's like 500 or something or whatever the number is, was ridiculously high. And then the next week it's not. And then the next week it's not. And the next week it is. I found that was bots, but I mean, I agree. It was the same sort of thing. I mean, even though we had a niche podcast, that probably wasn't the same as anybody else's. I think you do look at the numbers that other podcasts have. You know, you're looking at like, okay, they've got this many, and mine is a fraction of that. So, like, what am I doing wrong? You know, yeah. I'm trying to promote it. I'm trying to put it on this place and that place, but you know, it's like people are just not listening. So, like, what do you do?
Mm. I think this comes down to probably the biggest factor of podcasting, which we've spoken previously, which is just having your podcast in a space where people find it somehow.
Discoverability. That's the word.
No, I agree. And I think you need to know who your audience is, obviously. Yeah. But yeah. I did a lot of work on that, and I was in all of these single mother Facebook groups and parenting Facebook groups and promoting it in there, like random things, like joining all these groups on Facebook that I would not need to be in or that I would never have, you know, thought to go into. And there's a lot of like, you know, parenting forums and these different places that you know, people want to talk about these things, and going into all places like that and trying to promote it in there. And it's, you know, you get people and they'll listen, and maybe they listen to that one and they say, oh yeah, you know, it's good. And everyone says, yeah, it's good. But then you're like, okay.
But I think I would say in the last like couple of years, podcasts, people are really starting to understand like what it is in terms of like the regular person. Cause I find that you've got two sets of people. You've got the avid podcast listener who knows all the podcasts, all the apps, and then you've got the person that's like, oh, someone, you know, has told me about a podcast and I listened to it because they sent me the link, that kind of thing. And I think it's trying to convert those casual listeners into regular listeners, and it does take a moment. And I get you in terms of like your numbers going up like randomly. Like I did a episode about Beyonce audio, you know, the Beehive must have found it because I got good numbers. And I was like, yes, I've reached it. I've finally made it. And then next week, it was rubbish again. So I was just like, oh, I guess people are not interested. But I think that's what it is. And I think also where you, especially with your one, Rochelle, where it's quite a niche area. However, you probably had a core listenership that were like, finally, I found something. And what you have to almost rely on is that core listenership to promote on your behalf and to start to spread the word. But that obviously that takes time.
Yeah. There's this analogy where people talk about having like large trees that are spaced out in a forest, and then on the floor you have a bunch of foliage, or let's say grass. Yeah, so you have grass that's all over the floor, and then the large trees that are spaced out. So some podcasts are the people that are along the floor. So I would say something like Wavy's previous podcast and ESN, my other podcast, that's the stuff on the, that's the grass. That's like, you can find that everywhere, where our people are just talking about what's going on in today's world, whether it's the timeline or on the news or, you know, celebrities. You can find that anywhere. Then you have those niche ones, which are the trees, which you have to look up for, which is something, I guess, a bit more like this. The Expansion, I would say, is one of those trees. And Rochelle, Your Word to Your Mother was one of those trees as well. It's like, it's a niche thing. So you will never have the potential to have as many listeners as the grass, because it's, the grass will appeal to everybody. Everybody walks on the grass. But not everybody is applicable for those trees. So sometimes the numbers are not going to be as big, but the people that are in those trees, they made their way up there. They weren't just walking on the floor and they just happened to cross, you know, this blade of grass. They took the time to climb up to your tree. So even if you have a smaller listenership, the chances are they are much more, what's the word? When you're engaged. Engaged, much more loyal, much more dedicated. All of these verbs, they're much more willing to stick around and stay. And those type of people, at some point, if you try to monetize or if you have a live show, those are the ones that will show up. Those are the ones that will put money into your Patreon, because your story resonates with me a lot. I'm not just here because it's, you know, it's a passing fad kind of thing.
Don't they say you just need 100 hardcore like fans, and that's like enough? Those are the ones that are going to evangelize on your behalf. They're going to pay for things. They're going to promote you. That's all you need, 100.
100?
Yeah, that's. I think I read that somewhere. Maybe it was 1,000.
Yeah, for podcasts, I can't see that being the case. Like,
I think about 1,000.
I would even say 1,000. I'd say more than 1,000.
I wanted to ask you both, did you guys like tell your listeners that you were taking an extended break, or are you like an absentee father, just like went out and didn't come back?
Wow. Thanks for putting on the guys.
On the Not Everyday Pod, we had a season finale, and at the end of it, it was kind of like, we might be back, we might not be back.
Right.
So, yeah, we left it hanging in the air.
Yeah, well, I guess technically we're hanging because there was nothing.
Mm.
I mean, it's been over a year, so I guess people just get the, you know, the clue that that's not happening. But like I said, nobody was like, except for obviously Stavros now. No one's like, where are you? Come back. Where's the next episode? Nobody said that. So, you know, I assume that people, you know, it's fine. Nobody cares.
I told you before, actually, it's not, today's not the first time I've told you, by the way, so.
Yeah.
Yes, no, it's not the first time, it's the second.
Well, I remember reading a tweet where somebody said that podcasters give them, like, trigger their commitment issues, because you just, like, you know, you get involved, you subscribe, you get committed to listening, and then they disappear and everything. And then sometimes they come back and sometimes they don't, so... Even though I think you don't get the feedback, there would have been people that listened to both of your podcasts that were like...
Oh, no, even last week, I had a work colleague come up to me and he's like, I finally gone through all of your seasons. What happened? It's just stopped. And I was like, yeah, I know. So, yeah, I get them now and then, people asking, but it's just, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I feel like we're guilting them into coming back.
Yeah, good. I feel there's space for everybody to come on board, and I like knowing other podcasters and talking to other podcasters and working with other podcasters. And if they leave the podcast game, then I have to cut them off as friends, and I don't want that. You know,
I hear it.
I want to continue talking to you guys. So I guess we've gone through all of that. So we're gonna move on to the news section. Well, first off, we can talk about Amazon Podcasts. And last week we mentioned that they had a very, what's the word,
Draconian
terms and conditions to join their podcast world, which we kind of assumed they would have to run back. It was a thing where you couldn't talk bad about Amazon in your podcast. That was part of the terms and conditions of being on the Amazon podcast.
Staff, before we get into the topic, can I just make one disclaimer to last week? So, because, you know, I was a bit critical of Amazon. So just to be clear, if Amazon Podcasts want to buy the Expansion Pod, we are open. Just email us at theexpansionpod@gmail.com. Okay, go for it.
She didn't heed my thing about being interrupted before and putting me off.
So yeah, so do you want me to recap? So basically, so Amazon Podcast, they said that, okay, if you want to join our platform in your podcast, you cannot have any derogatory language regarding Amazon or their affiliated companies. So a lot of the podcasters made a big fuss about this. And as we predicted, well, as to be fair, as Stav predicted last week, they had to walk it back. So they had to basically say, we're taking that bit out of the T's and C's and you can say what you like, which is how it should be in podcast land. What do you guys think?
Don't you think Amazon are a bit late to the party?
I don't know.
No, the party is, it may seem late to you as a person that's been listening to podcasts for years, but the party is still early. The podcast game is still early.
I suppose it's another potential like revenue stream or, in, yeah. But I just feel like Spotify have got the market then, or Apple did have the market. Now Spotify have kind of come and taken over. Now Amazon are just like, am I really going to download the Amazon app to listen to podcasts when I've got so many other options that I'm already used to?
Who knows? I mean, they're juggernauts. They're used to coming into a space and taking over, actually. That is something that they're actually quite used to doing. It's doubtful it's going to happen here, but it doesn't hurt them to have that avenue there. As we spoke about with Apple before, it's a value-added service.
Yes. So if you've got Amazon Prime, you might get this.
Yeah, and it's just good to have everything in your ecosystem. It's good to. It's never a good thing for somebody to say, I have to go somewhere else to get something I want. So you give them the option, even if they're not going to use it. Somebody at some stage is such a Amazon fanboy where it's like, Amazon have the version now. I'm going to stop doing it anywhere else and I'm going to do it through Amazon. Who knows? So there's that. But anyway, they've walked that back. And so good luck to them. We'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, and I will add my Colour Out the Box podcast to their platform. Okay.
So is it the same sort of, you know, deal that you get with everyone else? You can just add it on there free. It's like going to be their own app or something.
Well, at the moment, you have to be invited to add your podcast. So they've been reaching out to different podcasters to basically invite them to add their show. And then I'm assuming eventually then they'll just open it up so you can just submit your RSS feed. The same with like Spotify and all the others. So it's sort of a little bit. Some of us got the email, some of us didn't. So, you know.
So it's not a popularity contest.
I mean,
it's always a popularity contest. I think that's got something to do with podcasters as well. I think popularity is in our bones.
Numbers.
Yeah. I don't think it's to do with numbers. I think they just maybe selected some shows.
Okay.
Like mine. But anyway, what's the next news item?
Dara O'Brien and David Baddiel have condemned the BBC for commissioning a podcast in which reality television star Scarlett Moffat. Who is she, anyways?
From Gogglebox.
Yes. Investigates conspiracy theories. So, Dara O'Brien is not happy that BBC have stopped a long-running series called Stargazing Live, which is about astronomy. And they're not commissioning that podcast anymore. But they're giving this Scarlett Moffat, as far as he's concerned, airtime to investigate conspiracy theories. She's got a limited series about conspiracy theories, her 10 favorite conspiracy theories. And I think, obviously, they're going to pay her to do a podcast on that. So I thought it's interesting because he put it out on social media saying, look at the BBC giving this woman this podcast and taking away from this. So I think it turns into like podcast snobbery. Like who decides what is worthy of having a podcast or not?
Everything's worthy of having a podcast as long as someone's going to listen.
There you go.
That's a good answer.
I would agree with you there. So so there was that, just a little bit of, there's not usually beef in the podcast world, or maybe there is, and I'm just finding out because I'm actually paying more attention now, but whenever I see a bit of beef. Sorry?
In America, there's definitely a lot of podcast beef.
Oh, you're going to have to send me all these links then so I can talk about it on the podcast.
No, but it's just like little shade. If you listen, like for particularly in the hip-hop sort of like podcast world, there's little shade thrown here and there that you click onto, but it's not like I hate this podcast, they're rubbish, but it's just little shade, but it's quite good listening.
I definitely think, especially with the introduction of the Spotify chart, now it's you can start to see where you are ranked, those that are charting against other podcasters. And also, I think me and Stav, we discussed it before, the celebrity podcast versus what I call the everyday person like us, you know, like everyday pod, deciding to do a podcast. So I feel like there is a little bit of a snobbery of these people that are popular. So say like Charlotte Moffat, who's come from reality TV versus say like, you know, like a radio presenter or like a more kind of organic podcaster. There's a little bit of judgment there as well.
Yeah, maybe, but that girl, Scarlett, she is like now a presenter. She presents TV programs. I mean, obviously they're gonna think, I agree with you, it's a snobbery. They're gonna think maybe she's not qualified or whatever. But technically she has the same job that they have. They're all doing the same thing, you know? Yeah. And the BBC, anything they commission, it's all going to be about revenue streams. So, you know, it's all about making the money. If they think that that's what's going to make the money, and this
no, because the BBC's aim is not. I mean, obviously they have to make money back, but they're funded by us. We pay our license fees, so BBC is actually there to give information. It's like we're here to kind of fill every space. So it's different, but it's the same thing. They're here to fill every space. Everybody should have a voice. Sorry?
This woman's opinions about conspiracy theories is not what information is that we all need to know.
Some people are going to agree with her. I do another podcast with a bunch of people that have a big conspiracy theory. So, yeah. they are not in the minority where people have views on aliens or, you know, I don't know, whatever it is. So basically, it's there for entertainment and education, and this could fall somewhere in the middle between both of them.
I think what I think is unfair is the fact that there was a podcast and people feel that her podcast is replacing this other one, whereas I think that's probably what's causing the animosity. Whereas you can just see it's that her show has been commissioned and they've decided to cancel another show. They may not even actually be related to each other.
I doubt they are. Like I said, for me, it's a snobbery. And like you said, Rochelle, they're doing the same job now, but maybe one of them was, he went to a different type of school or they were trained in journalism. And as far as they're concerned, they worked their way up to being on TV or on radio or to be a host. They did training. And then you just were on reality TV. And because you're popular, now you have a show. I guess it's the same thing we're saying about podcasting. There are some people where it's like they have, I don't know what gives you the voice or what gives you the right to have a podcast over somebody else, but you feel you have a right. And then somebody else, just because they're popular, you know, they have a right too. And I don't know. Maybe I'm chatting gibberish.
I agree with you. I think it is that sort of thing though, isn't it? It's like, you know, you see the most popular podcasts and it's like, oh, but it's because this person had social media following or they're an influencer or they had all of these things before. And that's the reason that they've got, you know, all the accolades or whatever it is. Do you know what I mean? Like that can make people who start out and think they have a great podcast salty, because it's like, well, just because I'm not an influencer doesn't mean I haven't got, you know, as good content or great things to say.
Yeah. So they're crossing their arms, sulking in the corner.
Yeah.
All right then. Another topic here. So like I said, we do have people that actually listen to podcasts on the podcast now. So there's this new app called Hypercast, and in it, what they've done now is they've got this new thing where they are segmenting certain podcasts. So I guess they're going to be doing it bit by bit. As it stands now, they're doing The Daily, which is a podcast from, which newspaper is it from? I've forgotten again. It's a New York Times podcast. It's one of the biggest podcasts in the world, actually, The Daily. It's just a news thing, basically. But what they're doing is they've somehow done some sort of learning where they're taking the words from the podcast, the audio, somehow finding a way with some wizardry to change it, and they're changing it into chapters on their app itself. So if the news podcast has 10 articles or so, each of those articles will now have a chapter on the podcast app, and it will be titled. So if they're talking about Syria, COVID-19, President Trump, you can go straight to that chapter on the podcast app itself. So this is a new thing from a podcast. Like I said, it's called a Hyper Catcher or Hypercast, which I think is quite interesting. It's like they are moving into a new area. Oh, we've lost one of our...
we've lost Wavy for a moment. He'll be back.
He'll be back.
I like the idea because it's almost like when you listen to podcasts, it's almost like listen to an album. You have to like listen all the way through. Whereas this is almost kind of like giving you your tracks that you can skip to.
Yeah.
You can skip to like your favorite like song on the album and listen to that. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I like it because it's like, you know, on YouTube, when you like somebody's got a topic or whatever and you want to know what they're gonna say, I always go straight to the comments to see if somebody has like time stamped it to say like this is where they actually talk about the specific thing that you wanted to know, or here is like the timestamps of when they've talked about it. Because sometimes you don't want to listen to a whole, like you want one piece of information or you want like just a specific thing, and I need to listen to this whole thing, which is like an hour or 2 hours long, and you just don't have the time. So I think it's great.
Let me ask you both a question then. If you had a podcast that you listen to, let's say weekly, you're quite happy with it. So think of a podcast in your head that you actually listen to, but you know that maybe there's segments or sections in it that you're not that interested in. It's quite formulaic. So maybe they start off this way, they end off that way, and then they have a meet in the middle. Is it, if they had a podcast where it's like, well, here's my full podcast, and then here's a bit we've just got this, I don't know, the meat in the middle, or the bit at the beginning that I know some people like, or the bit at the end that I know some people like. Would you say, I'm not listening to the whole podcast anymore? I'm just going to go to that one bit that I'm interested in.
Maybe. I mean, I can think of a specific podcast that has certain like parts. And when I first started listening to it, I would sometimes like skip the beginning because I knew that that's where they talked about this bit, which I was not really, wasn't my thing, and the rest of it I'm like, okay, I'll listen to the rest. So I've definitely done that before, like with other podcasts that are formulated like that, like they're the same every single week. I mean, you still get the listeners though, do you know what I mean? People are still coming to listen to that thing. And because everything isn't always going to be everyone's like cup of tea, maybe that part is just a bit that certain people don't want to listen to. So I think having the option, because we can go through and we can listen and have to jump 15 seconds and then jump 30 seconds and then be trying to go back and we've missed a bit and it's a whole thing. But convenience, everybody loves a bit of convenience. If we know exactly where it is, off we go.
Wavy?
Yeah, that's too much effort. Just play the whole thing, man. Just play the whole thing. Because in that, even in that section that you may not want to listen to, there might be one thing that someone says that has you laughing for the whole day. But because you've skipped to the section that you quote-unquote like, you miss it out.
I think different types of personalities will do different things. Because I know podcasts that publish on YouTube, that's a way that they do it. They usually publish the whole show, but they segment things up, especially into sections. So we're going to talk about this topic, and if that topic was half an hour, then they just put that half an hour out. I know they do that for advertising, basically to make money off each episode, but it does work because there are people that listen to this. And like you said earlier, Mo, if it was something about Beyonce, for instance, they might title it Beyonce, 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 hashtag Beyonce, you know, hashtag Beehive, blah, blah. And then somebody will find that and they just listen to that clip. Maybe they might come and listen to the rest of the podcast because of that. Where they never would have listened to your podcast in general, if you know, that kind of thing.
I think it depends on the podcast. If it's an education podcast, definitely I think the option to skip to the section, because I'm thinking what Rochelle's example, I do it all the time on YouTube. I will like watch hair tutorials and I'm like, okay, when is she actually going to start talking about the hair? Because I want to know how to do my twist out. I don't need to know about her life. So I'm literally looking for the timestamp so I can skip to that section because I want the information and that, just that information. So yeah, I do think it is useful sometimes, but you're right in terms of sometimes you like the I call it the jibber jabber at the beginning, at the end. I always say Stav's got a lot of jibber jabber at the end of his podcast that I don't always listen to.
I kind of like the way, like, ES, talking to Stab's other podcast, how you guys will get a section where that was, like, really funny, and you put it at the beginning, because now I want to hear what you guys were talking about. So I've got to listen the whole way through.
So you're talking about the trailer?
Yeah.
Do you call it a trailer? If
it's... Is it not a trailer?
I wouldn't call it a trailer. I think a trailer is a standalone thing. A trailer
what
is not.
Call it?
I call it a taster.
I call it an intro.
No, I don't think it's an intro. I think it's an actual word, because there's a cold open where you just start talking. And then there's the one where you take like an excerpt from the episode. And then there's one where you do a proper intro. We do an intro.
On this podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, do we? I didn't know.
Okay. It's a script that I wrote, like, that we talk about every week, but it's fine. Okay, fine.
Okay, before we go down any more rabbit holes, I think we're gonna try and wrap this one up, guys. Thank you very much for coming. I hope you remember that you are going to have to give us a podcast tip and a recommendation if you have one. And also, any listeners, if you want to bring back their podcast, then, you know, shoot them, give us your social media so that they can send you a message of love and telling you to come back, we need you. So let's start off with Wavy, in case his internet goes out again,
you know. I'm gonna be having words with Virgin, you know, I swear to God. So podcast tip, my podcast tip would be, go with your gut. There's quite a few times when I was doing the podcast that I watched what other people were doing, and I should have just done what I wanted to do.
Okay, that's a good point.
But yeah, that's my tip. Go with your gut.
Yeah, I can't say that. Any recommendations?
Recommendations. Literally this week, I've been on this financial tip. So I'm going to cheat and give you two podcasts, yeah? Pennies to Pound podcast. There's a girl that she runs it. She just, everything money, finance, economics. I find it really interesting. And Across the Pond is called, well, they call it Earn Your Leisure. We're English, so we say Earn Your Leisure. It's two guys, similar concept. They're more so talking about how you can add value to, you know, your regular income. So
a side hustle kind of thing.
Yeah, side hustles and, you know, stocks, bonds, all of that stuff. But it's really interesting. So yeah, those are two podcasts for people to listen to.
Okay, we'll get your socials in a second. Rochelle, could we have your tip and podcast recommendation, please?
My tip, I guess, is, like, in terms of for longevity, I feel like you have to do something that you're passionate about. Like, you have to enjoy it. It shouldn't feel like, oh my gosh, this is work. I need to, like, I have to do this and I don't want to do it. I feel like it should be something that you enjoy, and if you don't enjoy it, then you shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
That's my tip. My recommendation, I've been very bad with my podcast listening recent. In this pandemic, I have not been listening to a lot of podcasts, but I do listen to Say Your Mind podcast by Kelechi every week. That is one I enjoy, but I think it's because of the current climate and, you know, like, she's kind of like a social justice warrior, so gets you going.
Yeah.
I like you need that fire in your belly.
Yeah, I think there's a lot going on in the world, and, you know, if you want to be informed about those sorts of things, then yeah, you definitely got to listen to that.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mo, do you want to say anything before they give their socials?
No, I think let's wrap.
Okay. Mr. Wavy, once again, tell us your podcast, because is your podcast is still up there? People can still listen to
it. Yeah, there's some episodes. Not every episode is up, but the Not Everyday Podcast. Catch us on SoundCloud. Yeah, that's about it now. So I took it off Spotify and all those things there. But you can catch me at Wavy the First on all social platforms. I'm there. I talk a lot of nonsense on Twitter, but follow me in it.
You took it off. Interesting. It's a shame you didn't tell me that before. I would have asked you. And Rochelle, where can people get your podcast and your socials? Where can they reach out to you or the actual podcast itself?
Yeah, the podcast is still up. It's on Spotify. It's on Anchor. I don't think it's on SoundCloud, because don't they take some off after you don't pay every year or something?
That's what it was. That's why I said we've only got a few.
Yeah, I wasn't there. That's not there. So only, like, however many they allow you to have for free is there. But Spotify is there and Anchor's there. I think Apple Podcasts.
I listened on Apple, it's there.
It's still on Apple.
Yeah, it's on Apple. Yeah, so it's everywhere, basically. It's Where to Your Mother Pod, and the mother is MUTHA. And we are at Word to Your Mother Pod on socials.
Nice.
I think. I can't really remember. It's been a long time.
I actually think it's just the letters. Like why?
WTYM pod, yeah, at WTYM pod. You're right. You got a good memory because I cannot remember that.
I do not have a good memory, but I just knew that for some reason. So yeah, thank you very much for joining us, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Hopefully, we'll have you back on as publishers again at some point. Like what it's like to return as a podcaster. Triumphant.
Yeah, maybe.
I believe that, yeah, I believe that. It sounded like you meant it.
I would love to do it, but I don't know if I'd be able to get the whole gang on board again. That's my problem. Convince
them, you are the captain.
Yeah.
Go on, okay, man.
Should I do our social, Stav?
Yeah, please.
Well, I'm going to log into my burner account later and message both you guys to come back. After I've done that, guys, you can find us at The Expansion Pod on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. Do use the hashtag TheXPod to let us know your thoughts on podcasters that leave you like a, I don't know, ghosting lover. But let us know. And yeah, and I think that's it really. Thanks guys. And until next week. Bye.
Take care.
Did this make you want to come back? Even one of you?
A little bit.
I've been wanting to pod, but it's just there's no time. There's not enough time in the day.
I listened to both of your podcasts, remember? And like the thing with Wavy is I knew Wavy beforehand, so that's one thing. So, well, Rochelle, I didn't know you. I listened to your podcast because it was I found it interesting. So I was a listener. So
I know there were a few. I make out like there's literally no business. There are a few people on this.
Yeah.
No, and you make me want to do it again.
And I think you have to give props to those people that do come back by each week. Like even if it is just say like, I don't know, like 100 like core people, there's still people that are like, okay, looking forward to your show.